Dreams, baby.
Well, that's 5Ks for the kids. Step aside, boys. Give me a little elbow room. Sweet cake shouldn't take too long. Who knows? Might be able to catch the last few innings.
How's it back?
Murder.
Welcome to the Crypt Keeper's Coffin, a Tales from the Crypt retrospective brought to you by Bat and Spider. Episode 67, Till Death Do We Part. Can you believe we haven't had an episode called Till Death Do We Part yet?
It seems like every episode, it seems like every third episode, it could be called that.
Yeah. Fit. And this one, it doesn't really fit because no one's getting married. No one's married.
So the person that was carrying the file of show names and show descriptions, like he tripped in the hallway and all the papers went
and
flying.
This one landed in like his boss's hand and was like, this is it.
I love this.
And he's sweating. He's hoping no one notices it doesn't match. He's daubing his brow with the other papers, with other show titles on.
Yeah. I can't wait till next season when we get the episode Stamos Now and Forever.
Stamos, it's the description says he plays a gigolo, which I didn't really get that vibe that he was a gigolo. Was he a gigolo?
They tried to jam it in there.
Oh, okay.
The word gigolo was mentioned.
Oh, okay.
And
but not, was it as an insult or was it like, this guy's a gigolo?
Yeah, right. The female mobster who was the Elaine Brennan. What'd she play in? Oh, Clue. Yeah. Clue. Yeah. So she said, what's it going to take for you to stop being a gigolo or something around, gigoloing around? So she was saying it derogatorily.
Okay.
But
all right.
to Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos, it's the ultimate compliment. I mean, look at him.
Yeah. How upset was Lucy Chadwick on set when they both had to disrobe for the love scene in the office? And she's like, you know, I'm looking pretty good. I'm in my bra and underwear. And she looks over Uncle Jesse there with his fucking caramel, hairless, perfect body. She probably just felt like 2 feet small all of a sudden on that set.
Yeah. You're
right. How do you compete with that?
The caramel hue. Yeah, you're right. You know, what are you doing making John Stamos, even when he wasn't completely like disrobed, but when he was just with the white button up shirt, only the bottom two buttons are buttons.
Yeah.
How does anybody
get their lines out?
Yeah. You know, she's probably the entire time Lucy Chadwick is got to be crying in her trailer, like calling her mom probably.
Yeah. Or she's breathless, you know, director calls cut and she's,
I know. Right.
Is it hot in here?
Probably in between takes, he would start singing the song that he would sing to Aunt Becky in the show. Forever. Was that song? What?
Oh yeah. Forever. Yeah. Was that a Beach Boys song or was that his own song?
Uncle Jesse, Forever.
Do you think Mike Love visited the set of Tales from the Crypt to hang out with his pal?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because I think he did it with the Beach Boys, right? Oh, yeah. There's video of it.
Yeah. I remember learning all about his relationship with the Beach Boys, but I don't remember.
Really?
How he got involved with, I think maybe his like brother-in-law played with them or something. Like, he had some connection, and that's how he started hanging out with them and playing with them. Which is crazy. Like, it wasn't because of Full House. I always figured the relationship was like, oh, they had the Beach Boys on. But I think the relationship was established pre-Full House.
Damn.
Yeah.
I talk forever. You can't hear this right now, Chuck, but I'm watching it on Safari. Oh. There were segments of Full House where they just showed the whole music video. Like, at this segment, at this part of Full House, we're going to just show you the whole Jesse and the Rippers.
Mm-hmm. We're going to fill that time.
There's like, we're going to put these two twin baby boys in Uncle Jesse's shirtless arms, and he's going to sing.
I'm going to Discogs to see if there's a Jesse and the Rippers album.
Do you think this was, this is in canon, right? This is in canon. He is Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos and his Rippers, right?
Yeah.
But do they pivot that like our boy, you know who I'm talking about, Ray.
Who?
From 90210, right?
Oh. Talk to an Angel, that one, that guy?
Jamie.
How do you talk?
In the show 90210, Ray Pruitt sings, but Jamie.
Yeah. I know.
Is this what they were doing with Uncle Jesse?
I'm glad you bring this up, because this is the kind of thing that would twist my brain in a knot when I was, however old I was, watching it.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand it. It
right.
Because they're breaking rules, like they're breaking the contract you have with the viewer.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, which happens, that contract is non-existent now because everything's meta, Dale. But back then,
you're right.
There were clear delineations between make-believe on TV and real life. So
and when they start pulling this for the price of a Cassidy single.
I couldn't find any Jesse and the Rippers out. I mean, there's a cassette by a band named Jesse and the Rippers called Too Hot for TV.
Well,
but
I know who's buying that tonight after the show.
But it has nothing to do with our boy. It's a punk hardcore album. I mean, it looks good.
See, it's probably irony. Like, they named their band Jesse and the Rippers because... Yeah.
And it's like a drawing of a lady with purple hair who's topless and a censored bar over her topness.
Right. Yeah. That just speaks volumes. That's just, a picture's worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
Chuck.
There's none for sale on Discogs, so. I'll add it to my wish list.
Your Discogs wish list.
So, this episode, Dale. Should we get into this episode? What do you think? Do you like this one?
I think season 5 finally might be the... Now, Brad Pitt... It's been so long since the beginning of season 5.
Yeah.
But at least this is the top episode of the last three quarters of season 5.
Yeah, I think
in my
so.
Opinion.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, this was fun. I loved the crime against Italian Americans in this with Frank Stallone and the other guy. Frank Stallone had a checklist of stereotypical lines for his character to say, and he hit them. Hit them.
It's swing and a miss.
I believe I picked up on that.
Mm.
And the like the old timey, like when they would show, when you would see footage of like the sound gaffer like cracking walnuts for the Three Stooges episodes, like every time he would like crack his back and it was like Frank Stallone was obviously the highlight. He was this episode's like Paulie Walnuts.
Yeah, he was great.
This is the Yeah, he was fantastic in this episode. Stereotype or not,
I loved him. He played just like he was. He played like a tough for the older lady who was like the head of whatever racket they were running in the club she owned. He was like her, personal bodyguard, doing all the dirty work. Someone needs murdered, chopped up. That's him. But he was obsessed with baseball. Great character detail. He's always listening to the game somehow. Doesn't take any S from anybody. And he complains about his back, talks about his chiropractor a lot. It's great.
He was I think he'd be a soldier. According to one of the Google questions, because I was going to call him a capo, but he is not a capo. I think she would be the capo.
Yeah, if anyone, she would be. If they let, do they let ladies be capos though?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, this is...
This is the early 90s, so I'm going to say no.
Right. You know, and then until you get like the, what, like the first Capos Club.
Yeah.
Like the,
yeah, yeah. You know,
the movie, first Capos Club. But the way the episode was formatted and edited and it was very, very, it kept me engaged on to see who exactly was, you know, because they made you, they led you along very several times on who was wrapped up in the body bag. And ultimately, what comes out in the end? Very, very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Use of a use of time jumps.
I was a little miffed at the person in the body bag when they revealed that, because if you go back and watch them take that body out of the trunk, it is clearly a skinny person, because that guy was huge.
That right? The guy that was murdered.
Yeah.
It was massive.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. There was whoever they wrapped up in that bag was
it was skinny, mini. It was like a couple of paper towel tubes taped together.
Yeah.
How about so much of this episode was just, it was kind of cool. We're jumping around. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. We don't have to explain anything.
Right. They know.
I did like how the whole, how everything centered around the suspense of her about to get murdered by these hitmen in the forest, in the woods, with the old lady in the limo watching while they chop up this body. I liked how it was like, but they slowly reveal different clues as to what's happening, but you're still constantly worried for this girl, like, because she's clearly going to get murdered. So you're just like, and it keeps like dragging on and on. But you keep learning more and more details about the story. And it was fun. And my favorite part was, we get to the end and Uncle Jesse has the gun pointed at her head. He's been tasked to kill her. And what happens is we don't know it at the time, but we go into this great, like Bonnie and Clyde, where he's imagining this situation. Well, what if I don't kill her? And we turn the guns on the other guys and we shoot them up and we steal the old lady's money out of her safe and kill her. But it was done so well. Like, I was like pumping my fist when they go to raid the club and they have that shootout.
Oh yeah. They had the shootout and was it Lucy? She never even changed. She's just wearing his sport jacket.
Yeah.
His blazer. Oh, Maron.
I mean, I knew like something changed, like, because this is not how these characters were acting before, but I was like, I was hoping this was the real,
that's true,
the real ending.
Yeah.
I really wanted it because I was having a blast.
And what you find out is right before this, you find out that what he's doing, what he's putting his body through, is the combination to that safe. That's all the Gigolo wants.
Oh yeah.
So that's more motivation as the scene plays out in his head. You know, what if they go out guns a-blazing with, he goes with Lucy, the younger of the two, and they, you know, ultimately, what if she betrays him? That's what's happening in his head.
Yeah.
He can't have that.
He's playing it out, yeah.
How about the practical effect of the bullet going through the back of Lucy's head?
Oh my God.
The front?
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough stuff.
Man.
Yeah, it was shocking when it happened, because you're not ready for it.
Yeah,
I did. I liked the "It's Meatloaf" line.
Your husband is dead.
And that's Meatloaf.
That gets repeated.
Now that's Meatloaf.
After anybody gets killed. Oh, and I loved when the big guy, the big gangster, walks into her office and calls Frank Stallone and the other guys.
Where'd you find these two fucking torpedoes? A couple of primitive types, huh?
Hey, I go to night school.
Who are you, Jack fucking Benny? Now look, you shut your fucking hole, or I'm going to give you a good shellac.
Yeah.
And I got the one guy's like, hey, I go to night school. That whole scene felt like I was watching, like, the amount of stereotypical lines coming out of everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like I was watching, like, a stage play. like a gangster stage play, like off brought, you know, or like in a small town, you know,
yeah.
Someone like putting on a Godfather play. It was just like, oh, I could watch this for hours.
Yeah, it was so concentrated.
Mm.
It was like, you know, you just need a tablespoon of that in your cup of milk and you have a fully fledged, you know, latte.
Yeah.
It was so concentrated. And then, you know, at the end, Jesse Katsopoulos does what he does for his, you know, he's looking to buy an island for himself. He's not getting double crossed by any broads.
Yeah.
He's going to take her out and he's going to do what it takes. He's going to do what it takes as a lover and as a confidant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he doesn't like kill the old lady in the end, right? He goes back to her, which I liked because it was like first I was bummed because I wanted him and the girl to get away. But then I was like, no, this is like even darker than a normal Tales from the Crypt ending because he sort of chickens out. Like you could look at it where he's like going back to his place and he's not going to step out of line.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go back and be subservient to the lady, you know, and keep, you know, doing what she wants, giving her the goods, giving her the Werther's originals that he's packing. And, you know, he's just going to keep doing it. Maybe he'll get the courage next week to steal all her shit and run away.
Yeah. But right.
Not today. Not today.
And maybe after he gets that safe combination, mm-hmm. maybe he still takes a little while to get put himself through it. Maybe he's got it pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he doesn't win it. Yeah. Maybe this is his, just the way he does it. And he doesn't care for the girls that get killed along the way when he wants to go on the side a little bit.
Right.
Ugh.
She says, how many is it going to take? How many broads is it going to take for me to stick?
Yeah.
For you to pay attention to only me. So, you know, he's a serial cheater, polyamorous. I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know. It's a situation. All right.
Exactly.
I wonder if they got to see the last few innings of that game. They kept talking about that.
I know. And they mentioned Westville, New Jersey, which is you know outside of Philadelphia. So I wonder if they were listening to the Phillies game or they were listening to maybe a Yankees game or a Mets game. I noticed the limo did have jersey plates. So
how's the state divided in their baseball viewership? Are there a lot of Phillies fans like in Southern Jersey?
Southern Jersey, yeah, is mostly Phillies fans from you know it's hard for me to describe, but from a little north of Philadelphia, if you're looking at a Jersey map, mm-hmm. and kind of over the most southern and western parts of New Jersey, South Jersey is Phillies fans, but then like all North Jersey and then all along the coast, all the way down to like Atlantic City and beyond is mostly New York fans.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But Westville is in South Jersey, so.
Yeah.
Like, so this Italian mobster says, I think he's from Westville,
a
small town in South Jersey, but maybe he's just, you know, it's just Jersey pride at that point. It's just
when he was delivering that line, when Frank was delivering, did you see the way he put that apron on? Like he has done it 500,000 times in his life.
Dude, there's
was
so much.
Shocked.
Yeah. I love it. He was like waddling in those boots and he had those big gloves on and just putting that apron on.
He made that perfect fold. And what do you call that? That fold he made in the apron, like around his belly. So it fit right. Wow. Frank.
And I've seen people, you see people do that before, but not the right, you know, not the honest.
The Stallone method.
The saints of Newark.
I gotta say, Frank won me over. I haven't seen him in too much, but I gotta say, I think I'm on Team Frank now.
Chuck, I said, as soon as this episode is released, I'm tagging him on Instagram to see what kind of feedback, see what kind of action we can get.
Yeah. God. It's going to be the Dale, Chuck, and Frank show next week.
Make room. Maybe, you know, maybe after those Hercules numbers, this is what we need. It certainly can't hurt us, Chuck. Let's just put it that way. We're out there on pirate radio, our ham radio in our small community.
Ham radio. I remember when I lived in LA for a very short time, I remember there was this one exit off the freeway I would take, and there was a little sign that was always there. It said, had like a radio station number handwritten on it saying this was like this guy's pirate radio station right there. And I was intrigued that was still happening. This is like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Made me think of like Pump Up the Volume, which, you know.
Right.
Every boy who watches that movie has a beautiful dream of running a pirate radio station.
Oh, brother, you said it, man.
God.
And it's probably so it's even more niche now, but you know, can you imagine like the people that are getting together and like in the community that they support each other like that? Shoot, they probably have their own Discord server.
Oh, man. Dale, are we going to start broadcasting in our respective neighborhoods?
My God.
Talk about doxing. If you want to listen to us, you got to drive to our two-block radius.
It might help our numbers.
It might.
Do we need to apply for a license, right? Is that what we need to do?
Not a pirate one. Oh, we just steal the airwaves, man.
Right. You're right.
And just think of our numbers when the feds bust in our doors 2 years later when they catch on to us stealing the radio waves. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our listeners out there have made cassettes, like recordings of our shows.
Oh, God. We'll be passing them around like dead tapes. Just think of the New York Times articles and think pieces that are going to come from this. Who are we hurting? That's what I want to know.
Dude, you're saying everything that I would never even fathom to think of, but you're right. I really, hold on, before we end the episode, then I have to really get the lyrics down for Jesse and the Rippers.
Oh, yeah, forever. Please do.
If everything I do happens if I do forever.
Yeah. That was good. That was good. That was soft.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's what soft and caramelly. That's the.
Oh man. Okay. Yeah. I just looked up the song. Yeah, they're gonna take my Beach Boys nerd card away because it's on the 1970 album Sunflower. By the Beach Boys.
It is.
Yeah.
This is not a Jesse and the Rippers original.
Nope.
That makes sense.
Written by Dennis Wilson and Greg Jacobson. Rest in peace, Dennis Wilson, the most handsome of all the Wilson brothers.
Rest in peace.
Rest in fucking peace.
Rest in peace.
He drowned. It's very sad.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was very young.
But, I mean, he was still on the Beach Boys, so he was, like, old enough to...
Oh, God, I mean...
Was it, like, a rip current, Chuck?
Oh, I think he was... He had, like, a little tiny sailboat.
You don't have to belittle the sailboat, Chuck.
Well, I think he was really into it. Okay. Oh, geez. This is hitting hard. 3 weeks after his 39th birthday.
Oh, geez.
Dennis drowned at Marina Del Rey after drinking all day and then diving in the afternoon to recover his ex-wife's belongings previously thrown overboard at the marina from his yacht 3 years earlier amidst their divorce. Oh, shit. That's weirder than I remembered.
Whoa.
Oh, that's awful.
Man, he was going through some stuff.
Damn, man. You imagine that date drinking all day and then deciding to go diving for like one of the most saddest reasons I could think of.
Yeah.
God damn.
3 years. Something you did 3 years ago. He's been drinking to that for 3 years. Oh.
God, 39. 39. But if you haven't heard Dennis Wilson's solo album, Pacific Ocean Blue, listeners, go listen to that album because you'll be surprised. Maybe kick back, relax, you know, put your feet in some sand, get a Corona, and just let Dennis serenade you. Mm. You're going to be surprised.
Okay. Wow, I'm doing it.
Yeah, do it.
Thank you. Everything I do. I don't even know if, I mean, was that right for him to sing that?
Forever. I know. It's probably Mike Love's doing. It had to have been.
Yeah.
We'll give the kid one of Dennis's songs. Mike's wearing that hat. Dale, what are we watching next week?
God.
It's not a Tales from the Crypt episode, right?
You said it. That was the season, this episode, fuck me. That was season 5's finale. So we must decide where to steer this ship.
Which came out first? I always forget.
Well, Jesus, yeah. So you know what time it is. My God.
We doing it?
Yes. We've put this off long enough. We did Tales from the Crypt. We did the other one.
Vault of Horror? Is that what it's
Vault of Horror. In 1995, this movie came out and changed me. I don't think I say that with any sort of... it changed me. This movie is a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Tales from the Crypt presents a Demon Knight. Is a part of me for all the right reasons as a 14-year-old. I came for the horror that I could stand. This is one of the first horror movies that I was completely okay with watching. And I bought it on VHS. I bought it on DVD.
Wow.
This soundtrack is beloved to me. I'm not much of a metal head, heavy metal person, but this soundtrack, just every song on here did it for me. And I remember it was only like 10 songs on that bad boy, and everyone was a gem.
I'm looking at it right now. Oh. Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Ooh, even it ends with a Gravedigger song. God damn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Demon Knight, what's there to say? I think I saw this in the theater, Dale, and I think that's the last time I saw it.
Wow.
I distinctly remember going with my mom to see this. If you were 14, I was probably 12. I was 12 when this came out. I don't know why I went to see it, but it was probably a media blitz. It was probably like the media blitz directed at young teenage boys, and I was just like right there. Oh, and every comic book had an ad, I think. I
remember that yeah. Too. Every comic book had an ad for this with the movie poster in it for sure.
Yeah.
This stars. The very first episode of Tales from the Crypt featured William Sadler. William Sadler is back. The King is back for this, along with Billy Zane, Jada Pinkett Smith, the dude who played Herman Munster in The New Munsters.
CCH Pounder.
CCH Pounder is in this. Thomas Hayden Church is in this.
Wow. You got Rick Boda on the camera, running the camera, who is,
of course,
he does basically every episode. And who directed it? Ernest Dickerson. Oh, he's still working today on Bosch.
Oh, nice. So Tales from the Crypt presents Demon Knight. Oh, man. The concept of this movie, like, I just can't wait to get into it. The concept of this movie was just so cool to me. And man, I love it. I love this movie.
There's one visual that I'm not going to say it, but I remember it distinctly. Like, it's like kind of the only thing I remember from this movie, and it's still really cool. Really cool.
And nice.
Boy, I'm excited to relive this with you, Dale. There's no better way. So let's get ready. Let's get our diapies on for next week. And everybody else, watch with us if you want to be cool.
Yeah. And good luck finding the, you can't find the soundtrack on like Spotify and stuff like that. And I don't know if all the songs are available to, maybe on YouTube you might be saved by that, but good luck. You might have to buy, I think I bought it on Amazon just to have it. I know it's in my CD binder somewhere, nice. If I still have that thing, but.
You know, I'm going to be looking for a tape.
Oh, dude, it's there. It's available.
Yeah, I got to get one. I got the other one, right? What I did get a Tales from the Crypt tape, but I think that was
Bordello of Blood.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, Dale, we got so many fish to fry.
Yeah, dude, you're right.
Let's wrap this up. Good season, Dale. Congratulations on finishing season. What was this, season 5?
Season 5. Only 2 seasons left.
God, it's amazing. Hey, yeah. look at us now. That's all I got to say. Look at us now. Peace out.
Love you guys.
if every word I said could make you laugh, I'd talk forever. I asked the sky just what we had. It shone forever. If the song I sing to you could fill your heart with joy, I'd sing forever. If everything I do were to put on forever.